Welcome to Redemption Church. My name is Daniel. If I haven't met you yet, I'd be happy to meet you after the service. I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption. So if this is your first time here, just a warm welcome to you. We have a special guest with us. I always make these jokes that our special guests come from really long distances and then tell you that they come from places like Langley or Abbotsford or anything like that. But this time around, we have a special guest that has come a very long way to be with us, all the way from Zambia. We have Chris Makwabe here, who is fast becoming a good friend. I had dinner with him a couple of nights ago at Bonnie's house. Thank you, Bonnie, for the hospitality. And he is a lovely man. He is known to our congregation as he was part of this congregation when he studied years ago at Regent College, and oftentimes about once a year is back for a visit. And so every time he's back, we have the special privilege of inviting him and having to come and share God's word with us today. So Chris, why don't you come on up, and Redemption, why don't you give him a warm welcome?
Thank you.
Chris, let me pray for you before we release you to preach. Father, thank you so much for this man. Thank you for his family. Thank you for all the churches that he oversees in Zambia and the work that they continue to do to show and share the kindness, grace, and truth of Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that as Chris shares words with us today from the scriptures, Lord, that we would behold wonderful things from your word. We thank you, Jesus, that your word does not return void. And we thank you, Jesus, that you have something for every single one of us today. And so bless your servant as he preaches and deliberates the word to us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. And I bring greetings from my wife, Catherine, who some of you know already, and our daughters. They all greet you. I also bring greetings from our church, Living Hope Church, which is a member of the Pentecostal Assemblies of God Zambia. So we are actually sister churches. I don't know if we are brother churches or sister churches. So Pentecostal Assemblies of God Zambia was planted by Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Yeah, so that's how come we are basically just one. So we had a very big missions conference in Minnesota, USA, where I started with the World Assemblies of God Senders Summit, where general superintendents and mission directors of different nations gathered together. We are 400 of us plus discussing the agenda of world missions, especially reaching the unreached peoples. So other than pastoring the local church that I pastor, I also serve in the national leadership as the home and foreign missions director. So I covet your prayers in that respect. That's a superintendent for the home and foreign missions. So it's been quite a schedule, but I thank God that I'm here and being able to meet Pastor Daniel and soon meet the family as well and reconnect with some of you old friends and meet new friends today. So my heart is ready, big enough to accommodate everyone. Praise God. Yeah, so it's wonderful. As you heard, we often come back here every year, except for last year that I didn't manage to come. But Catherine came. Some of you must have seen her already. And thank you for your hospitality all the time that we come. But I think it is time for you to come to Zambia. What do you think? I've come enough. So please, Daniel, organize a team. Why don't you organize a team and come out there? And it'll be nice to have fellowship with you. It's a nice place. A very nice place, I'm telling you. And I've been given a passage of scripture to preach from today. Now, believe you me, many times I've been asked to preach here many times. Three of those times I've been asked to preach from Ephesians. So it happens that I'm preaching from Ephesians again. I will ask you, if you can, please, to stand to your feet for the reading of the scriptures. As we read the scriptures together, we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. I know you've been in the book of Ephesians, And I thought I'll just continue from there and see what the Lord is going to do and speak to us from this passage of Scripture. Okay, so how many of you are already getting excited for some warfare? Yes, for some warfare this morning. So Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, the Bible reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord." Let's just pray together. Father, indeed, we thank you for the reading of Scripture, and we submit ourselves to the authority and power of this Scripture, and praying, O God, that you may open our understanding as we receive this word. I stand in your grace, O God, to be able to speak this word. May you grant me clarity of speech and grant me a prophetic utterance, that I may speak this word as I should. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. You may take your seats. Allow me to speak to us this morning on the theme, the spiritual warfare, otherwise the believer's spiritual warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6, we are told that we are engaged in the warfare, and this warfare is not carnal, and the weapons that we use are not carnal weapons, but they are spiritual weapons. And these weapons are mighty through God for pulling down strongholds, pulling down powers of darkness. I just want to read this passage of Scripture, which is augmented to the passage this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 10, 3 to 6. So it says that, from verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So you remember the story of David and Goliath, that Goliath came armed up to the teeth, and he was shielded from top to bottom, and he had this, you know, atrocious spear with him, and he was ready for battle, and everyone was running away from him. But God's approach to warfare is not according to the worldly standards. And God anointed David with the Holy Spirit, and he went in the name of the Lord, and he went with an obscure weapon. And with that obscure weapon, he brought the giant down. And my encouragement to you today is that your giants will come tumbling down. Because God is going to anoint you and place in you armory that is going to help you fight this war. So I don't know what you are fighting with today. I don't know what you are up against in your life. But my encouragement to you is that God's warfare is fought on his terms. So we live our lives in tension all the time. We live our lives in tension and conflict. We are in tension in our workplaces, in our families, in relationships, in society, in politics, in different situations. We live our lives in conflict. The Christian life is the life of conflict. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring war. How come is the Prince of Peace? Yes, is the Prince of Peace, that he brings peace within us, but then it's in the context of conflict where we are engaged in day-to-day warfare. Believers are in conflict with spiritual forces of evil. We cannot see our enemies. They are called spiritual forces of evil in Ephesians chapter 12. It means they orchestrate evil. They are behind all the evil that you see. They are behind all the hatred that you see. Divisions between friends, divisions among families, divisions in nations. They are behind all this and wars that are fought all over the world. They are these spiritual forces of evil that we fight with. They are fights within ourselves. There are conflicts within ourselves. There are conflicts with the flesh, the weak parts of our bodies, our disposition. So these are conflicts that we are involved in. So everyone is at war. You are at war. You may seem like everything is going on well, but you are at war. Now, worldly weapons cannot fight spiritual enemies. These spiritual enemies are unseen enemies. So you cannot use worldly weapons. You need to use spiritual weapons. The conflict that we have is not against your brother or your sister in the Lord. It's not against the physical persons that you see. Yes, you differ with people, but I want you to know that behind all those differences, behind all those divisions, there is an enemy who is unseen. There is an enemy that you need to fight. Do not waste your time to fight this with your natural weapons, with your physical energies. You need to get behind the scenes and fight this warfare in the spirit. And these weapons that we use, they may sound simple, they may look simple, but the Bible says they are mighty through God. They are lethal weapons. The weapons that God provides for us to use in this warfare, they are lethal. They are the most feared weapons that the devil ever fears. Now, we have an enemy in the person of Satan. So that's our enemy, and is the arch enemy of God. He is our arch enemy too. Now, Satan, Lucifer, the original name that he was given as he served in heaven, he was an angel in charge of worship in heaven, but he was filled with pride as he saw this worship being given to God. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 4 and 7, the Bible tells us that this pride, it led him, you know, to rebel against God. And the Bible says God hurled him out of heaven onto the earth. And it also says his tail swept one third of the angels with him who are now deemed as evil spirits or demons. In Ezekiel 28, verse 11 to 19, Ezekiel the prophet, speaking about the king of Tyre, he does frame the devil in the person of the king of Tyre. How the devil fell from the secure position where he was exalted, where he was given a role, a very important role of leading the worship of God. But he desired that worship himself. He desired that worship himself. You can only worship God, the Lord God, and nobody else and nothing else. God desires to be worshipped and all of us to pay homage to him. Anything beyond that, that is abhorrent to God himself. So these, the demons and Satan, they were held to the earth. So we have a host of all these angels, billions of them, who are now an organized evil force in rank and in foul. And they fell with Satan. And they are out there, yes, causing havoc all over the world. They are fighting us. You may think that the war is not there, but wait until you get into endless conflicts that are not ending. Wait until you get into turmoil. Wait until you begin to fight some diseases and some illnesses that come and attack us. Wait until you face, you know, a culture that is against God. Wait until you face all these situations around us that are against the word of God. Then you realize that we are at war. We are at war. Now, when a certain rank of these demons fail to conquer you, the devil just steps up the battle. He brings the higher rank. He brings the higher rank and up to the highest point, which is himself. But that should not scare you. That should not scare you. This should not be bad news. I have good news alongside this challenge that I have presented to us. The good news is that our victory has been secured in Christ Jesus through his death on the cross, by which he disarmed powers and principalities that are against us. That's the victory that we have. But this must not be assumed. You don't live by assumption. You need to live by faith. You need to be active. You need to activate your faith. You don't need to disengage. It doesn't come naturally. You need to step out of yourself and believe that God's word is true and receive what Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary. It doesn't rub on you. You need to reach out, receive, and believe. Amen? Praise God. Now, what am I saying here? God's will is for the church to stand united in prayer and fight against evil. That is his will, that we should stand united and pray against evil. We must close ranks together as in military. We must be on the same side. We must fight together. We must be intentional. We must be deliberate. I heard announcements for prayer not together. Don't ignore that. I heard announcement for worship Sunday. Don't ignore that. Those are major weapons of warfare that we use, and those are major battlefront through which we combat evil around us and powers of darkness. And we'll fight the warfare against Satan and his evil forces effectively by using the right weapons. When we identify, somebody say identify. Yes, identify his schemes and tactics that he uses against us. So it's very important that you identify the schemes of the enemy. It's not obvious that you see that this is the devil coming to attack my life. He's going to scheme you. He's going to hide, a trick in which to lure you into his territory. So he's going to trick you. He's going to use tact in order to trip you so that you can fall. So you need to be aware and understand how the enemy comes. Firstly, you need to fight possession and control. He comes to possess and control. That's what he comes to do. You know, Satan and the demons are disembodied spirits seeking bodies through which to operate. They have no No bodies. They are immaterial. So they seek material. So they are going to use anything and anybody material and manifest themselves. One time, I was praying for this lady who had a situation. This lady was sick in church, and they came for prayer, and they had gone to hospital, and there was no diagnosis. They couldn't find anything wrong with this person, but this person was very sick. So I began to pray for this person, and then demons manifested. Who knows what demons are? Have you ever seen any? You never seen any. Do you think they are here? Yeah. They are here. If the devil could present himself before the presence of God and he went to accuse Job before God, he also comes to your worship services. He comes. You just can't see him. So I prayed for this lady, and this lady manifested demons. Now, you would be shocked that these demons did present a particular kind of dance that was going on, you know, in the cultural you know, frame of that day. So she comes through this, he comes through this dance, and then these dances were seductive. So I addressed this demon and commanded it to go in Jesus' name. And then the demon said, "We don't have anywhere to go. We have nowhere to go." Now, I think it is really some time back. I must have been a bit younger. So I was very zealous. There were two big trees in our yard. So I said, "Okay, enter one of those trees." And then the demon started, you know, now commanding the tree. "You tree, open, open." So I said, "Look, I don't want your tricks. I don't want your tricks anymore. I'm not going to spend any more time with you. I command you to go within 1 minute." And that woman was freed. And that woman was healed in Jesus' name. There was another lady that I prayed with. This lady was eating all her meals, but for about 3 to 6 months was not opening up the bowels. And went to the hospital, they gave her medication, nothing happened. Nothing happened. And when I came to know about it, led her to the Lord, began to pray with her, and as I prayed with her, demons manifested, and they themselves confessed that we are responsible for her non-opening of the bowels. And I commanded them to leave, and they left. And that lady was healed up to today. Up to today. So I'm saying that these are disembodied spirits, and they will seek a body through which to torment, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. As the Bible says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that I might have life and have it. That you might have life and have it abundantly. So they come to possess. They also come to oppress. Yes, you may be a Christian, you may be a believer, but you will undergo some oppressions which you don't know why you are being oppressed. So you need to be set free from oppression, set free from possession, so that you can have the freedom in Christ Jesus our Lord. The demons will use various objects and various creatures. Poor snakes, they are used mostly. Remember the snake that was used in the Garden of Eden? The snakes are used. You know, Satan himself went and used the snake. They will use various creatures. They will use cattle. They will use various things. And some of you that can't sleep at night because of nightmares, some nightmares come in form of snakes. They coil around you and you can't sleep and you are fighting and cattle chasing you. Does this sound familiar with anyone? Yeah. So you can't have a peaceful sleep. Some of you can't even switch off your light because you have fear, you are afraid. So they use fear to intimidate us. Fear is the biggest thing that the devil uses. He blows a problem. He blows a situation up and you feel drowned. you know, in this challenge. But I want to encourage you that you don't need to fear. The demoniac of Gadarene was possessed and controlled by a legion. A legion means 1,000 demons. And those 1,000 demons, they just turned him into a mad person. They controlled his life until Christ met him. And they were afraid when they saw Christ. And they said, "Son of God, we know who you are. Have you come to send us to hell before our time?" And Christ commanded them to leave. And they had nowhere to go. He commanded them to enter into the swarm of pigs. And you know what happened? The pigs, you know, were driven like crazy into the sea and they drowned. So demons will seek to possess a body, which means that we need to be careful and take responsibility what we do with our bodies. Because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seeks to live in our bodies. Yes, we've come to worship today in this beautiful auditorium, but really, the real auditorium where the Spirit lives is our bodies. So the enemy is going to use our sensual appetites, is going to use our cravings, is going to use various things that we do in our body in order to gain entry and begin to control us. He's going to use even certain various entertainments that we may like so much, and he uses them and he comes in so that he begins to control us. But what do you do when you discover that you are under oppression? What do you do when you discover that you've been possessed by a certain spiritual control that you have no power over? In James chapter 4, verse 7a, I want to, read this passage of scripture so that it can help us. This you can do for yourself. You don't need even anyone to come and pray for you. If somebody prays for you, we thank God for that, which you should be able to ask for. In James chapter 4, verse 7a, the Bible says that once you realize that you are under attack, whatever situation it is, from verse 6, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. That's the first thing that you should do. Humble yourself before God, and then submit yourself to God. And then secondly, resist Satan and demons from their control, and then you'll be set free. In verse 7b, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So these are acts of engagements. These are postures of engagements that you need to do in order to be set free from demonic oppression or demonic possession or any attacks of the enemy under whatsoever. Wherever the attack comes from, it may come through your family situation. It may come through your work situation. It may come through your business situation. Just come and say, I submit myself to God. I humble myself to God. Devil, I resist you now in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says he will flee from you. Amen. He will flee from you. It sounds simple, but it's a lethal weapon. This is a weapon that we use to fight against the enemy. Number two. Fight evil influence and activities. Fight evil influence and activities. You have learned in the book of Ephesians how we have celebrated. There's a celebration of God's salvation that we have received. Yes, the grace of God that we have received and how it has been dispensed to Gentiles. And that's a mystery that only existed with God that Gentiles should be saved, and we thank God that we have been given power to come to God in that sense. And in the book of Ephesians, we have been taught how to live as a result of this salvation we have received. Yes, we have received the Spirit of God. He's made us one in Christ Jesus. We are baptized with one baptism. We are one in one body, and we are supposed to live wisely, live responsibly, and how to live as family. And then the Apostle Paul says, finally, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the evil day. It's not a question of if the evil day will come or not. It's when it comes. Coming, it will come. When it comes, what will you do? What will you do? So fight evil influence and activities of the enemy. That's what we need to do after putting on the armor of God. Satan and demons orchestrate evil. They manufacture even evil. When sort of evil expires, they go to manufacture some more. They go to manufacture some more. Various activities that present themselves today, they were not there that time. Various cultural norms that we see now were evil many years ago. So manufactured by demons and Satan. So all these evil days are coming, whether we like them or not. So evil spirits, they work through our fallen nature and they wreak havoc in our lives and in our relationships. And that's why Paul speaks to us in chapter 4 and chapter 5 that we have to take care of our sensual desires. We've got to crucify the flesh. We've got to let go of our sensual desires so that the devil does not gain entry through them. So we need to be aware of the various tricks that Satan uses to make us fall. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He goes around and to seek those that are not prepared, those that are not ready, those that are not dressed up in the armor, in the fighting armor, those that are oblivious, you know, in their lives to the fact that they are in warfare. So he's going for those. So be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So don't be the victim. Don't be the victim. You need to be alert and fight evil influence. I've said that some of the evil influences are going to come through culture, through media. Who knew that even the best of social media that was created for good communication can bring evil in the community? Who knew that? It can bring divisions in families, divorces increasing, exposure to various acts of evil. So we have to be sensitive enough and know where the enemy is coming from so that we can fight him. Evil spirits work through our fallen nature. We need to be aware of these various ways. So let us not fall into the trap of Satan. We need to know his schemes. We need to be aware. We need to be people that are actually more aware than anybody else. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, please give me that passage of scripture. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. So be aware of his schemes. So next time the enemy comes in between you and your fellow brother in church and you're having a disagreement, just know that you are at war. Go and pray. Go and seek the mind of God. Go and seek the will of God so that you can be reconciled. Yes, sometimes it brings division between children and parents. Go and seek the mind of God. If you don't seek the mind of God, you are going to blow it. You are going to do something wrong. Something wrong. So be aware of the schemes of the enemy that he uses. As a church, be aware. Let's be aware as the body of Christ that even as laws are laws are made in parliament, debates are made, and politics, you know, go on, be aware that the enemy can creep in. You need to stand to pray together. I know it's so difficult for cultures like this, different from where I'm coming from. Zambia is a Christian nation by constitution. By constitution, it's a Christian nation. So there are certain things that may happen in other cultures, which in our culture would be illegal. And you would go to prison. Okay? So just yesterday, the whole nation had a day of prayer, fasting, and reconciliation. The whole day. I mean, the whole nation. And the president was there. The church leaders were leading the prayer services countrywide. Praying for the nation to be reconciled, praying for peace, and praying for unity in the nation. Yeah, so notwithstanding that we too will have our own weaknesses. Okay? So you have your demons, we have our own demons. Okay? Your demons maybe have got master's degrees and PhDs. Okay, so don't sit there and say, no demons are there in Africa. No, they are everywhere. Some of them are professors, you know, professorial demons, so to speak. Okay, so don't fall into the trap of the enemy. Be alert. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying here. You know, be sharp in the spirit. Be discerning in the spirit. And you've got to know that when the devil comes and works against your innermost being and weakens you in the inside, then outside you will lose your battle. Thirdly and lastly, fight by deploying the right spiritual weapons. Fight by deploying the right spiritual weapons. Remember, I did say that the weapons that we fight with are not fleshly, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Now, when you come to learn about these weapons, the devil can even laugh at you. You mean you can fight me just by quoting scripture? Yes. Just by quoting scripture, you defeat the enemy. You put him to flight. These are the weapons that we're talking about. So we fight with God's truth. In 14 to 17, going back to Ephesians, if you can go back to that passage of scripture, then so that you keep the notes there, I'll use the Bible here. So in chapter 6, 14 to 17, he begins to itemize these weapons that we use. So in verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." You need to be able to stand. Yes, the enemy will come. The Bible says, even if the enemy will come like a flood against me or you, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. Amen. So don't fear. No matter how intensified the battle is going to be, trust that God will raise the standard against him. Amen. There's a bar that God raises, and beyond that, the enemy cannot cross over and touch you. So you have to be able to stand. We stand with God's truth. And how do we stand with God's truth? Having, girded your waist with truth, it's standing of what you know God's word says about you. In Christ Jesus, you have been forgiven. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. You are washed away. God does not condemn you. But the devil will bring condemnation and rejection and make you think like you are a misfit. But you need to quote the word of God and say, "Now I am a new creation." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "The old has gone, the new has come." That in itself is a weapon of warfare. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So that alone gives me a stable platform from which to fight this warfare. I am certain, I am convinced, I am secure in God's love. I am the beloved of the Lord. I am the apple of God's eye. So there's nothing that can happen against me without God's knowledge. And once God knows, it is a done deal. It is a done deal. So you need to know the truth of God's word about you. The truth of God's word about you is that by the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed 2,000 years ago. That's the truth about God's word. But the devil is going to bring this gigantic, sickness against you and just throw it in your face. Cancer of this, and cancer of this, and this one, this incurable, the incurable this, and no medicines for this, and it is just staring in your face like that. But stand on the truth of God's word and confess God's word. Even if you are to die and pass on, die confessing the truth of God's word. Die confessing the truth of God's word. We fight with a godly character. We fight with a godly character. This is the breastplate of righteousness. We fight with integrity. Integrity in our hearts. We have this relationship with God, a relationship of trust with God. We are entrusted with this relationship. So that integrity guards your heart. And because of that integrity, you will not allow anything that is against the will of God into your heart. It is guarded. No, that's righteousness. You stand right with God. You stand in the right relationship with God where God has declared you not guilty. Not that you are not guilty, but because the price has been paid. Somebody else took the punishment. And because of that, you are not guilty. It's a declaration of a just judge, because that's what the judge has decided. Nobody can overrule him. Nobody can overrule God. And thirdly, we fight with faith. We fight with faith. So apart from righteousness, having shod your feet with a preparation of the gospel of peace, so we fight with faith, boldly proclaiming Christ's message. Simply by the proclamation of Christ's message that your sins are forgiven. Christ died for you. Repent from your sin. Believe the good news. That alone is a weapon against the enemy. The gospel of peace. Where there was enmity, Christ has brought reconciliation. That we are now reconciled with God. People don't need to run away from God. God is a hospitable father. Is a father who offers hospitality to his enemies, creating peace with us through the cross. We fight with active faith, standing on God's promises. Yes, the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we need to have active faith, standing on God's promises. What has God promised you? Stand on those promises. For the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes, and they are amen. Stand on the promises of God. Yes, answers may delay in coming. Stand on the promises of God. Coming, they will come. The answer will come because you have asked from God. 1 John 5 verses 14 and 15 tells me, I don't know if you can quickly give me that, 1 John chapter 5. Yeah, 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything in accordance with his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have received that which we have asked of him. Not so? Yes. This is the promise of God. So don't falter on your standing on the promise of God, because God does not falter on his promises. God keeps his side. But are we going to be stable enough? Are we going to be patient enough? We have to be patient. In this warfare, we are told that we have to fight the fight of faith. We have to stand firm. We have to endure. We have to persevere. All these are traits of a warrior who is fighting a war. Nothing will come easy. Some situations will be rough, but you need to persevere. You need to endure. You need to wait patiently, and you need to act actively in your faith as you stand on the promises of God. Declare, as the scripture says, I shall not die, but live to declare what God has done. Amen. Declare what the word of God has done. So we launch God's word at certain attacks. Okay, and then we also secure our mind. We secure our minds with the salvation that we have received from God. We renew our minds, Romans 12, verse 11. We renew our minds to think the will of God, focus on the will of God. Yes, because God has saved us and he has given us this hope. So we renew our minds to align ourselves with the hope that God has given us. Then the sword of the Spirit, we launch it at Satan's attacks. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he quoted scripture. Mm-hmm. It is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. The devil tempted him again. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord God, your God. So you need to know scripture. What are you going to fight with? Because quoting it, just barely quoting it, it puts demons to flight and the devil. Now, if you haven't even memorized anything, what are you going to use? What are you going to use? Thank God that David had a sling. What do you have? At least have a sling. At least know even one passage of scripture. Now, the temptation that will come against your life will not be above and beyond what you can conquer. It will be equal to what you can conquer. But it's up to you to be alert. It's up to you, yes, to be steadfast. It's up to you to be ready to fight back. Is anyone following God's word this morning? Yes. Okay, if you are following God's word, just wave at me at least. Yes, praise God. Because I want to land it this way as I conclude this message. That Satan will do whatever it takes to make believers compromise in their faith. And when he makes you compromise in your faith, then he has won the battle against you. We must not compromise our stand. We must be disciplined soldiers. As Paul advises Timothy, endure hardship as a good soldier of the Lord. So let us take our stand against the devil's schemes and strongly resist him. We need to learn and we need to embrace prayers that will be aggressive against the enemy. Don't be scared to use your voice against the enemy. Use your voice against the enemy. Use it at whatever modulation, how the Holy Spirit leads you, speak. If you are going to scream, scream. Scream at him. Use it. Worship the Lord. Pray. Praise the Lord. Use your voice. So 1 Peter 5 verse 8 to 9, it says we need to stand strong against the enemy. We need to resist him. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, Because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Your sufferings are not unique from the sufferings that may be going on another part of the world. Everyone is suffering under the attack of the enemy. But stand firm. Stand firm. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. We are assured by this that Christ has already secured our victory through his death on the cross of Calvary. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now you may be saying, if he has disarmed these powers and authorities and making spectacle, how come they still fight? Now, time does not allow me to go into details to unpack all aspects of spiritual warfare. It will need to be a week. But you know that there are certain dangerous demons that Christ locked away until the last day. Did you know that? Yeah. There are some that are locked away, such that if those were let loose, there will be total chaos on earth. So the most dangerous ones have been locked in prison. The ones that have remained, you can manage to fight them with the armor that God has given you. Amen. So let us stand together and fight the enemy. I invite you to stand to your feet now as we do some practical praying over what I have just preached right now. So I don't know what warfare you are fighting in your situation. I don't know what you are up against. Maybe it's in your health. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's at your workplace. Maybe it's even in your business. You may be facing one form of battle or the other. Maybe it's in your health. You may be facing one battle or the other. But the principles of warfare, the principles of engagement are the same. And I invite you that we engage in these principles and fight this warfare. So I'll take you to James chapter 4 from verse 6, and then I'm going to lead us into warfare, praying all of us. Some kind of boot camp training in Jesus' name. So whatever situation it is, I want you to bring it to the fore and present it before God. James chapter 4 from verse 6. So the Bible says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Mm-hmm. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's talking about repentance. And lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's just, if you can, just close your eyes. Think about this word. And I'll lead you in just confessing the same scriptures. You pray after me. I won't mislead you, trust me. I won't tell you to do things that you regret. Why did I say that? But just what the scriptures are saying here right now. So just pray with me and say, dear God, I humble myself before you. And I submit myself to you as my Lord and my Savior. I submit my situation to you. I submit my situation of warfare to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And for a moment now, I want you to begin to mention some of those aspects in your life that you are submitting to God. Yes, those situations of warfare, whatever it is, it may be sickness in your body. It may be conflict with another friend, a family member, even a brother or sister in the Lord in this church. It may be a conflict at your workplace. It may be a conflict in your school. Bring that before God. It may be bad health. Begin to bring that before God. Said, Lord, I submit these conflicts to you. In the name of Jesus, I submit, yes, this difference with my brother or sister to you. I submit, yes, this taunting I'm undergoing at my school to you. I submit, yes, this frustration I'm going through at work to you. I submit this situation to you in the name of Jesus. Yes, I submit, yes, this harassment that I'm going through in the name of Jesus. I submit this addiction that I'm going through and addictions of my children. I submit them to you. For the devil uses addictions as well, yes, to influence people. Submit all this to God. I submit this habit that I cannot let go to you. I submit them to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Now take a stand and pray with me and say, devil, I resist you now. In the name of Jesus. Every demonic force, I resist you now. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority over my life. You have no power over my life. Sickness and disease, I resist you now. In the name of Jesus, flee from my life. Flee from my life. I receive my freedom now. In the name of Jesus. Just begin to pray and give thanks to God. Begin to pray and give thanks to God. Yes, God. Yes, we receive our freedom. We receive our victory. We receive our healing. We receive our provisions in the name of Jesus. We receive our peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, we receive reconciliation in the name of Jesus. We receive, oh God, a job offer in the name of Jesus. We receive a better job in the name of Jesus. We receive peace at work in the name of Jesus. I receive this contract of business in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, my Lord, who died for me and gave his life as a ransom for my sins. I thank you, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. Give glory to God. Just thank God and give glory to God. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Take your seats. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.